From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now, and I'm in San Diego all this week. But, Jeremy, we are watching Washington.
We are. There is a bill there to limit the National Security Agency's bulk collection and storing of phone records in this country, and it has cleared a key vote in the U.S. Senate today. The big question now is whether senators will amend the House-approved USA Freedom Act. If they do, it would have to go back to the House for reapproval. And the NSA's phone surveillance powers expired on Sunday. Investigators say they've lost a key tool in fighting terrorism unless Congress acts and acts quickly. Joining us now is Richard Clark. He was a senior national security official in both the Clinton and Bush White Houses. He also served on President Obama's task force that recommended changes on NSA surveillance programs. Richard Clark, welcome.
It's good to be with you.
Well, what is your assessment of the USA Freedom Act as it is currently written? Do you think it goes too far, not far enough? What?
Well, I think for what it does, it's quite good. It's an improvement over the Patriot Act, most notably because it terminates the government collection and the government storage and the government utilization of the telephone data, the so-called metadata program.
And we're talking here about telephone data. I wondered it as I was looking at that. You know, these days, you don't need a telephone to communicate as you did after 9/11. You can use FaceTime or iMessage or WhatsApp or Snapchat or Twitter direct message. There are so many ways that you can communicate. Are we focusing too much on telephone communication?
I think you obviously want the access to telephone communication records. But what we said in our report to President Obama was that it should not be stored on government computers. And the government shouldn't have a right to just look at it because it feels like it. There should be standards, and there should be a warrant from a judge.
But are there big gaps right now? If you were to look at it from the other side and say, what are we really getting? Do we have access to that information?
Well, in some cases we do, in some cases we don't. The Section 215 program was just one of many programs the government has. But if you talk about FaceTime and iMessaging, for example, those are both encrypted by Apple. Therefore, the government cannot intercept them. And Apple says it's designed the systems in such a way so that even Apple can't decrypt them. This has caused the FBI to ask the White House to change the law so that they can compel a backdoor in the encryption. But right now, Apple says there is no such backdoor, and even Apple, if it were given a warrant, couldn't give the government access to FaceTime or iMessaging.
That seems like a pretty big gap.
Well, there are other ways, of course, to track down a terrorist and to try to figure out who is a terrorist. But there's also a great value, I think, in citizens having the right around the world, citizens of the United States and other countries having the right to communicate without the government snooping on them.
But I guess the question is, if the White House is saying we've got to have this information in the phone records, otherwise we're putting ourselves at risk, and there's this totally new way to communicate that is not monitored, and as you say, it's encrypted, so they can't even get access to it if they want it, why this big battle over phone records? That's only part of the pie.
Well, the battle over phone records is a mountain over a molehill, really. Both Senator McConnell and President Obama have greatly exaggerated the importance of this program. The program never stopped a single terrorist attack in all the years it's been running. And I think it's more politics, where Senator McConnell wants to say he's more anti-terrorist than President Obama. And President Obama also wants to pound his chest and be the big anti-terrorist and say that he needs these various authorities, such as the lone wolf collection authority, which no one has ever used.
But so you don't think it's necessary anyway to have the phone records?
Look, they're not necessary. There are lots of investigative tools. The investigator wants to have all the tools he can possibly get. But you have to listen very carefully to government statements on this sort of thing because they tend to engage in hyperbole.
Richard Clark, we're hearing today from Edward Snowden, who brought all of this to light and what the NSA was doing. Do you think of him now, a couple of years on, as a hero, a traitor, or what?
I think of him as naive. he revealed this telephone metadata program, and for that we're thankful. If he had stopped there, perhaps he could be a hero. But he did not stop there. He went on to release tens of thousands of documents, which revealed how we track down terrorists and how we prevent terrorist attacks and money laundering and other criminal activities. And we have already seen that people around the world have read those documents online and have changed the way they do business. And it's much more difficult for us now to track terrorists and to prevent terrorist attacks. I don't understand why Snowden thinks that's a good thing.
So you think he did more harm than good?
Way more harm than good. He revealed way more than he needed to, and a lot of it has hurt us very badly.
That's Richard Clark, who was a senior national security officer in the Bush and Clinton White Houses. He also served on President Obama's task force that recommended changes to the NSA surveillance programs. Richard Clark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.